بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we spoke about the belief of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah regarding the Quran and Kalamullah and the speech of Allah. And that Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they say that the Qur'an, it is the speech of Allah. It is the real speech of Allah. It's wording, either words of the Qur'an, the letters of the Qur'an, the meanings of the Qur'an, all of them are from Allah. And it has not been created. Also, we went through the statement of the author, rahimullah, وَالْقَدَرُ خَيْرُهُ وَشَرُّهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ, that the qadr, the decree, everything which happens in creation, the good and the bad, all of it is from Allah Jalla fil Ula. In this lesson, we come to the statement of the author. He said, وَخَيْرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بَعْدَ نَبِيِّهَا أَبُو بَكْرٍ الصِّدِّيقِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ ثُمَّ عُمْرَ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ ثُمَّ عُثْمَانِ بْنُ عَفَّانِ ثُمَّ عَلِيِّ بْنُ أَبِي طَالِبِ رضي الله عنهم وهم الخلفاء الراشدون المهديون وأن العشرة الذين سماهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وشهد لهم بالجنة على ما شهد به رسول الله وقوله الحق والترحم على جميع أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم والكف عما شجر بينهم. He said, the best person in this ummah after its prophet is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, then Umar ibn al-Khattab, then Uthman ibn Affan, then Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhum, and they are al-khulafa al-rashidun al-mahdiyun, the rightly guided khulafa. And then the 10 whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam named and bore witness for them that they would enter al-Jannah. According to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam testified, and his statement is the truth. And also to seek the mercy of Allah upon all of the companions of the Prophet and also his family, and to refrain from delving into any differences or disputes which occurred between them. So this is now the aqeedah of Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, the aqeedah of the Imams of the Salaf when it comes to the Sahaba and Alul Bayt, the companions and Alul Bayt, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is best amongst them? In what order? And what is our duty towards them? And how do we interact with the disputes and the differences which occurred between them after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So the author, he said, وَخَيْرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بَعْدَ نَبِيِّهَا أَبُو بَكْرٍ الصِّدِّيقِ, that the best of this ummah after its prophet is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali. So the best of the Muslim ummah, it is these four in this order. First of them is Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman, and then Ali radiallahu anhu, radiallahu anhum. And not only are they the best of this ummah, but they are the best of all of the umam, of all of the nations after the prophets and the messengers. So who is the best of all of mankind? The prophets and the messengers. After the prophets and the messengers, from the creation of Adam up until Yawm al-Qiyamah, after the prophets and the messengers, who are the next best of creation? Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, not only is the best of this ummah, but he is the best of all of mankind, from the first till the end, after the prophets and the messengers. And the second, Umar, and then Uthman, and then Ali, radiallahu anhum, ajma'in. So Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they believe in the virtue of all of the companions, and specifically these four companions. And the author said, "Hum al-Khulafa al-Rashidun al-Mahdiyun," that these four companions, they are those companions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prophesied that they would become the Khulafa. The hadith of Irbad radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Alaykum bi sunnati wa alaykum bi sunnati al-Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiyin 'addu 'alayha bin nawajid wa iyyakum wa muhdathat al-umur." He said, "Upon you is my sunnah," meaning it is an obligation upon you to follow my sunnah. And it is an obligation upon you to follow the sunnah of Al-Khulafa Al-Rashidin Al-Mahdiyin. Follow the sunnah of the rightly guided Khulafa. عَضُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ, bite onto it with your molar teeth and stay away from the innovated matters. When he said, upon you is the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiyin, i.e. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, radiallahu anhum. Why do we accept their virtue and praise them and give them such a lofty status? For a number of reasons. Firstly, because they were companions to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And therefore, if the Prophet is the best of mankind, then the best of the companions are his companions. Then the next after him is his companions. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he chose the Prophet to be the best of the Prophets, and therefore he chose his companions to be the best of companions. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi." Each person is on the religion of his beloved friend. And who were the beloved friends and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They were the Sahaba. And Allah said in the Quran, "Al-akhillau yawma idhin ba'duhum li ba'din adu illa al-muttaqin." That the akhilla, the beloved, close friends and companions, on that day, i.e. on yawm al-qiyamah, they will be enemies to each other, illa al-muttaqin, except for the people of at-taqwa. And who were the people of taqwa? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions. Secondly, they heard the Quran. So the fact that they would hear the Quran being revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is a virtue. And also, they used to ask the Prophet questions, and then they would hear his reply. And he taught them the understanding of the Quran and how the Quran is implemented. He taught them the rulings of Al-Islam. He taught them the ahadith and how they are to be understood. The companions, they are those who spread the religion of Al-Islam. They conveyed it with the permission of Allah to the East and the West. They are those people who aided the Prophet, who had iman in the Prophet, who sacrificed themselves and their wealth and their family and their time for Al-Islam. They are those people who made jihad in the way of Allah, and they conquered the countries, and they taught the knowledge, and they refuted innovation and the people of innovation. And for this reason, they are the best of mankind. And there's never been a generation or a group like them. And up until Yawm al-Qiyamah, there will never be a group or a generation who ever comes close to them. Not only comes close to them, but doesn't come close to the dust which is under their feet. So nobody is comparable and equal and even near to Sahabatu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he said that the best of the Sahaba are them four, i.e. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhu, wa hum khulafa al-rashidun al-mahdiyun. What is the obligation of a Muslim with regards to the Sahaba? Firstly, that when you mention their name, you make at-taraddi. And the meaning of at-taraddi is saying radiallahu anhu. If it is a single companion, male companion, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. If it is a single female companion, radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her. If it is father and son, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them. If it is more than two companions, radiallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them all. Secondly, to defend them and support them and aid them when those who insult and those who talk bad about them when they speak.
Thirdly, mentioning good about them. This is an obligation upon the Muslim. That not only do you defend against the doubts and the insults, but also amongst the people we spread their virtues. Because whenever the virtues of a person become spread amongst the people, then this leads other, it leads others to love that person. So not only do we have to love them, but we spread their virtues, we spread their statements, so other people learn to love them. Also from the obligations is that the Quran and the Sunnah, we do not go out of their understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah. So whoever tries to implement a hadith or an ayah upon a way which is independent of the Sahaba, then he has insulted the Sahaba. So our understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah has to be limited and restricted to the way and the understanding and the implementation of Sahabatu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, that we believe in their virtue, we accept their merits, and we give them the correct order. So from the iman of Ahlul Sunnah is believing Abu Bakr is first, and then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali, and then those who came after them, and we will go that through that in a short while. And then the author will mention later on that any disputes which occurred between them, that we don't speak about it. We have to remain silent about it. So we don't delve into it, we don't read about it, we don't speak about it, due to reasons which we will discuss in a short while, and why some of this dispute took place. Ala kulli hal, the companions alayhim ridwanullah, even in their disputes between each other, they are excused and they are forgiven. In fact, they are rewarded. They are either between one reward or two reward, and we will come to this. So after these four noble companions, Al-Khulafa Al-Rashidin Al-Mahdiyin, who are the next best in virtue? The author, he said, وَأَنَّ الْعَشَرَةَ الَّذِينَ سَمَّاهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. The next best are the 10 whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned their name specifically and bore witness that they will enter into Jannah. And they are known as Al-Ashara Al-Mubashsharuna Bil-Jannah. 10 companions who were given the glad tidings of Jannah during their lifetime. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in a single hadith 10 companions, and he bore witness that they will enter into Jannah. They are called Al-Ashara Al-Mubashsharuna Bil-Jannah. He said in the hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he said Abu Bakrin fil Jannah, that Abu Bakr, he is in Jannah. Abu Bakr, he is Abdullah ibn Abi Kuhafa as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. He said wa Umaru fil Jannah, and Umar, meaning Abu Hafs, Umar ibn al-Khattab al-Faruq, he is in Jannah. Wa Uthman, ay Uthman ibn Affan dhun-Nurayn, Abu Abdullah, he is in al-Jannah. Wa Ali, meaning Ali ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu al-Hasan wa Abu al-Turab, he is in al-Jannah. Wa Talha, meaning Talha ibn Ubaidillah, he is in Jannah. Wa Zubayr, i.e. Zubayr ibn al-Awam, Abu Abdullah, he is in Jannah. Wa Abdurrahman ibn Awf, fil Jannah. Wa Sa'adun fil Jannah, meaning Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas. Wa Sa'idun fil Jannah, meaning Sa'id ibn Zayd. وَأَبُوْ عُبَيْدَةَ meaning عَامِرْ بْنَ الْجَرَّاحِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. So these 10 companions رضي الله عنهم, in a single hadith he mentioned all of them. And therefore these 10 companions are the most virtuous of all of the companions. So the best of mankind after the prophets and the messengers are these 10 مُبَشَّرُونَ بِالْجَنَّةِ, those who were given the glad tidings of Jannah. The Prophet mentioned their name. And the best of these 10 are those four, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not restrict the glad tiding of Jannah only to these 10. Apart from these 10, there are other companions, males and females, who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam bore witness to them entering into Jannah during their lifetime. So for example, his two grandchildren, Al-Hasan wa Al-Husayn radiyallahu anhumah, he said regarding them that they are Sayyidi Shabab Ahlul Jannah, that they will be the masters and the chief of the youth of the people of Jannah. So he gave them glad tidings. Bilal ibn Abi Rabah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he saw or he heard the footsteps of Bilal in Al Jannah. So he gave him the glad tidings of Jannah. Ukasha radiallahu anhu, he said, Sabaqaka biha Ukasha. When Ukasha asked the Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, Udu'u Allah yadkhilni al Jannah, supplicate to Allah that He enters me into Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did so and he gave him the glad tidings. Other than them, Thabit ibn Qais, the one who had a loud voice and he feared for himself that he had disobeyed the Prophet because his voice was louder than the Prophet, and therefore he stayed at home. For a long time he stayed at home and he used to say regarding himself that he has entered into the fire. Why? Because he was scared that his voice was louder than the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said, "Bal dakhal al jannah." Rather, he has entered into al jannah. And others, Abdullah ibn Salam, who was the rabbi of the Jews, the Prophet bore witness that he entered into Jannah, and other than them. So the point is that there are a number of companions who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically named and bore witness that they enter into Jannah. Those 10, Al-Ashar Al-Mubasharun, they are the famous ones. Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, when it comes to any Muslim, specifically, individually, we do not bear witness that he has entered into Jannah. So we cannot say regarding Fulan ibn Allan that this person, because he's a Muslim, he will enter into Jannah. We speak generally. So generally we say that whoever dies upon Tawheed enters into Jannah. Whoever dies as a mu'min, as a Muslim, he enters into Jannah. As for specifically bearing witness that a particular individual has entered into Jannah, then we only do this if there is an authentic evidence. So we can say, for example, that yes, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we bear witness that he as an individual, he enters into Jannah. Why? Because the Prophet, because we have an evidence from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at the same time, the people of sin and disobedience and the people of innovation, we don't say that they will enter into the fire, meaning as individuals. We don't say regarding a particular innovator or a particular sinner that he will enter into the fire. Rather, we generally say that the sinners are deserving of punishment. We say the people of goodness, the people of righteousness, they are deserving of reward. And the people of sin and the people of innovation, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will be deserving of punishment. But Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we don't specify any individual from amongst the Muslims and we say that he is from the people of Jannah or he is from the people of the fire unless there is an evidence from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similar to this, we don't say that Fulan is a shaheed, he is a martyr. Rather, as Imam Bukhari mentioned, we say Fulan shaheedun insha'Allah. We say Fulan, he is a shaheed insha'Allah. By the permission of Allah, by the will of Allah, he will be accepted as a martyr. So we don't make a judgment of certainty upon any single Muslim. We speak generally. And when it comes to the people of disbelief, the kuffar, as long as you are sure 100% that he or she died upon kufr without any doubt, then you can bear witness that this specific individual has entered into the fire. Why? Because you know for certainty that they died upon al-kufr. However, if there is any doubt, any rumor that the person accepted Islam or was influenced by Islam, and sometimes rumors go around, then it is better to remain silent. So we have three types of people. We have firstly a Muslim and we know that he dies upon Islam. We say generally the Muslims will enter into Jannah, the people of Iman, the people of Tawheed will enter into Jannah. But we do not specify any individual who enters into Jannah unless the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified them. Similarly, the Muslims who are sinners and innovators, we cannot say for certainty that they will enter into the fire. We generalize in our statement. Then you have a kafir, a disbeliever, who died upon disbelief without any doubt, we say that this person is from the people of the fire. And then you have a third person, there's a doubt, there's a possibility, it's plausible that maybe he entered into Islam. There's a rumor going around, it's been mentioned by certain people that they entered into Islam or they took the Shahada. This person we also remain silent about. But generally speaking, those Sahaba, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, they are the best of the companions. When it comes to, there's two separate things with regards to the four we mentioned. One is the sequence of these four companions in terms of the Khilafah, and the other is the sequence of these four companions when it comes to virtue. Who is more virtuous amongst them? Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah, from the time of the companions up until now, they have agreed upon the order of the Khilafah, meaning Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. They were the ones who were deserving of the Khilafah in that order. So whoever goes against this and says, no, Ali should have been given the Khilafah over Uthman, or Ali should have been the first and then others who followed them, then this person has deviated and he has entered into the Aqidah of the Rawafid. And not only this, he has gone against the Ijma' of all of the companions, because all of the companions accepted this order, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, in terms of who was deserving of Al-Khilafah radiallahu anhum. When it comes to virtue, who is better amongst them, who is more virtuous amongst them, then Ahlul Sunnah have complete agreement that the best of them is Abu Bakr, then the second best is Umar radiallahu anhumah. And then the third, the large majority of the Ummah accepted that Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was the third most virtuous. And then Ali radiallahu anhu. And then there was a small group of ulama who held the view that Ali radiallahu anhu is more virtuous in terms of fadl, in terms of virtue, and better than Uthman radiallahu anhu. So they accepted the Khilafah was like this, but in terms of virtue, they differed who was better. Was Uthman radiallahu anhu better than Ali, or was Ali radiallahu anhu better than Uthman? And the large majority of the Ummah is, and this is the correct view, that Uthman radiallahu anhu is better than Ali. Those who differ regarding the Khilafah, then this is a deviation in the Aqidah. Anybody who differs in the Khilafah, this is a deviation in Aqidah. Anybody who differs in the virtue of them, of Ali and Uthman, then we don't say that this person is with the people of innovation, or this is an error in his Aqidah. And Al-Imam Ahmad, he said regarding those people who don't believe Ali should have been the fourth Khalifa and Uthman should have been the third, he said, مَنْ لَمْ يُرَبِّعْ بِعَلِيٍّ فِي الْخِلَافَةِ فَهُوَ أَضَلُّ مِنْ حِمَارِ أَهْلِهِ. That whoever does not believe Ali was fourth in terms of the Khilafah, then he's more misguided than the donkey of his family. Why? Because all of the companions, all of them agreed. In fact, even Ali radiallahu anhu agreed that Uthman was deserving of the Khilafah. For this reason, he gave him the bay'ah. So whoever comes afterwards and negates this, then he is misguided. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimullah, he said, من قدم علي على أبي بكر وعمر. Whoever gives precedence to Ali over Abu Bakr and Umar, فقد أزرى بالمهاجرين والأنصار. Then he has belittled and competed with the Muhajirun and the Ansar. وَأَخْشَى أَلَّا يَنْفَعُهُ مَعَ ذَلِكَ عَمَلْ. And I fear that his actions, his righteous actions, will not be accepted from them. Why? Because as we mentioned, all of the Muhajirun and the Ansar, all of them had ijma' that Uthman was deserving of the Khilafah, and then after them, Ali radiallahu anhuma. When Umar radiallahu anhu, when he passed away, he left behind six people. He made a shura of six people. And these six people, they would come and they would decide who would be the next Khalifa after them. Amongst them, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he was given the task of going to all of the various tribes, going to the Muhajirun and the Ansar, and seeking some of their opinions. And he's mentioned that Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he spent many days and weeks in asking the people and making shura, and he saw وَرَأَى وُجُوهَ النَّاسِ إِلَىٰ عُثْمَانِ. He would see that the faces of the people are all pointing towards Uthman radiallahu anhu. فَبَايَعَهُ Abdurrahman وَبَايَعَهُ أَهْلُ الدَّارِ. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he gave the pledge of allegiance to Uthman over Ali, and the rest of the people, the companions and those who remained, all of them gave the bay'ah to him, including Ali radiallahu anhu himself. So after we have Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, then we have the rest of the 10 who were given the glad tidings of Jannah, i.e. the 6 who remain. After them, the next in virtue is Ahlul Badr. Those companions, those 313 or 311 or 309 companions who took part in the battle of Al-Badr. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Hath ibn Abi Balta'a radiallahu anhu, he said, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَكُونَ قَدِ اطَّلَعَ عَلَى أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. The Prophet said regarding him, how do you know that perhaps Allah has looked at the people of Badr and he has said to them, do whatever you want because I have forgiven your sins. I've already forgiven your sins. After the companions who took part in the battle of Al-Badr, it is those companions who gave the first bay'ah under the tree. And they are called Ahlu Bay'ati Ridwan. This pledge of allegiance was given by a certain number, a small number of companions in the 6th year of the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They gave bay'ah to him. And Allah said in the Quran, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Verily Allah is pleased with those believers إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ, when they gave you the pledge of allegiance under the tree. So they are the next in virtue. And then after this, those who were more senior from amongst the Muhajireen and the Ansar and so on and so forth. So in terms of the sequence of virtue, first is the four Khulafa, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. Then the other 6 who were given the glad tidings of the Jannah from the 10 that we mentioned. And then those companions took part in the Battle of Al-Badr. Then those who gave the pledge of allegiance called Bay'at Ridwan under the tree. And then after this, the rest of the companions, the most senior of them, and then those who came after them. And then he said that also from the belief of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah is At-Tarahum ala Jami'i Ashabi Muhammad, is hoping for the mercy of Allah upon all of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying radiyallahu anhu, saying rahimullah, so on and so forth, wa ala alihi, and also alul bayt. And alul bayt, they are the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have the general companions from the muhajirun and ansar, those who related to him, those who were not related to him, those who came from outside, who are not Arabs, like Bilal and like Suhaib and like Salman radiallahu anhum. And then we also have Alul Bayt. And Alul Bayt are the household or the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning his uncles like Al-Abbas and Hamza, and also the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They are considered as being Alul Bayt. وَالْكَفُّ عَمَّا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, and remaining silent, not talking about, not reading about, not writing about, not delving into the disputes which occurred between the Sahaba. And he said this because of the emergence of the two specific groups of innovation. Firstly, the Rawafid, and secondly, the Nawasib. And these two are at polar extremes, and in the middle is Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. The Rawafid, they are those who call themselves Shia today. And the correct term which should be given to them is the Rafida and not Shia. Because Shia, it means supporter. It means group or party. And this word Shia, it came at the beginning, the first generations, a group of Muslims, people of taqwa, people of righteousness, they were known as Shia to Ali, the supporters of Ali radiallahu anhu. And they were either those people who believed that Ali was more virtuous than Uthman, and this was, like I said, a difference amongst Ahl Sunnah, or they were those who defended Ali radiallahu anhu. And they were people of righteousness, people of taqwa, and they were known as Shi'atu Ali. And on the opposite, you had Shi'atu Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and so on and so forth. And therefore, the word Shi'ite comes from them, and those who call themselves Shia today in Iran and in other countries, they use this term to deceive the rest of the Muslims. The actual name which is given to them is Ar-Rawafid. And the meaning of Rafida is those who rejected. And they were given this term because there came a time in the history of Islam when one of the great grandchildren of Ali ibn Abi Talib, called Zayd ibn Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhuma, there was a time for his imama, for his authority to be accepted. And a group from amongst this deviant sect, they said that we will accept you as our imam, we will accept your authority and leadership if you insult and speak against Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. فَرَفَضَهُمْ فَرَفَضُوهُ. So he rejected them. He said he rejected this notion that how can I insult Abu Bakr and Umar? And so they rejected him. So when they rejected him, رَفَضُوهُ, then they became known as the Rawafid. So he rejected them in their idea and their notion. So they rejected him and we reject them, alhamdulillah. Those who accepted the Imam of Zayd ibn Ali ibn Hussein, amongst the Shia, they are known today as Zaydiya, because they accepted his imama. And the Zaydiya mostly found in Yemen. And they are also from the Shia, perhaps the less extreme amongst them. We have these two opposites. You have the Zaydiya from amongst the Shia, who accepted the imama of Zayd. And then you have the Rafida, who rejected the imama. And this is the name we should be given to them. Amongst the Rawafid are many different groups: Al-Ismailiyya, Al-Ja'fariyya, Al-Batiniyya, Al-Imamiyya, Al-Ithna Ashariyya, and so on and so forth, different amongst them. The Rafida, who are danger upon this Ummah and should not be neglected, they have various beliefs. Not only do they insult Abu Bakr and Umar, not only this, but Kufr and Shirk in many other angles. So firstly, they believe that the majority of the companions who remained after the death of the Prophet, they left the fold of Al-Islam. In fact, Shaykh Hussain Taymiyyah mentions that they only affirm 16 companions. After the death of the Prophet, they say whoever died in his lifetime, he died upon Islam. Whoever died after him, then the majority of them left the fold of Islam apart from 16. And also, from their beliefs is they believe that the Khilafah should not have been given to Abu Bakr and Umar. So they went against the ijma of all of the companions. And also it should not have been given to Uthman. And they don't accept the Khilafah. They say this is Khilafah Batila. This was invalid, rejected from history. And that it should have been given to Ali radiallahu anhu. They believe that the rest of the companions, they concealed and hid those texts which prove the Khilafah of Ali radiallahu anhu. Also from their beliefs is that they believe there are certain ahadith and certain texts in which the Prophet mentioned 12 imams who are like the rightly guided Khulafa after the Prophet. The first of those imams is Ali radiallahu anhu, then Al-Hasan ibn Ali, then Al-Husayn, then after them the offspring of Al-Husayn. So the fourth of them is Zainul Abidin, and then Muhammad ibn Ali al-Baqir, then Ja'far al-Sadiq, then Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kazim, then Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, then Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad, then Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi, and then al-Hasan, and then the 12th Imam is al-Mahdi al-Muntazir. He is the awaited Mahdi who is going to appear. And they say regarding him that 260 Hijri, he was upon this earth and he entered into a cave in the area of Samurra. and he was 5 years old or he was 6 years old, and he entered into that cave and he remains there until now, and he will come out towards the end of the times and he will be the 12th Khalifa. And Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, and this was in his time, he said, from that time, 260 to my time, 400 years have passed, and yet this child who says Mahdi al-Muntadhir, he hasn't come out of the cave. And Shaykh al-Rajihi, he mentions that now we say 1200 more years have passed from that time, and yet still he has not appeared. So these are the Ithna Ashariya. Also they believe that the Quran, it is deficient. And they believe that Fatima radiallahu anha, there is something called Mushaf Fatima, the copy of Fatima, and this is the one which is complete. They also believe regarding the Imams that they are perfect and they have been protected from any mistakes and they are better than all of the companions and they have with them the knowledge of Ilmul Ghaib, the knowledge of the unseen and so on and so forth. So they have many deviations, shirk and kufr in their aqeedah and even tawheed al-rububiyyah, never mind making takfir of the Sahaba. The second group, we said the Nawasib, they were the Khawarij, those who fought against some of Ahlul Bayt. So the Rawafid, who call themselves Shia, they had ghulu when it came to the veneration of Ahlul Bayt and the Imams. The Khawarij, the Nawasib, they went to the other extreme and they belittled them and they fought them and they rebelled against the Imams. And both of them are at polar opposites. The Rawafid, the ulama make takfir of them. As for the Khawarij, then they are innovators. So this is the belief with regards to the Sahaba alayhim ridwanullah. And a person might ask regarding the dispute which took place amongst the companions. First of all, as I mentioned, Ahlul Sunnah, we do not speak about it, read about it, or delve into it. And many of the Imams in their books of Aqidah, they said, وَالْكَفُّ عَمَّا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, remain silent, don't speak about that which occurred between them. Only mention their good points, don't mention anything else. Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned that when it comes to the narrations regarding the companions, how they had a dispute amongst each other, there are three types of narrations. The first narration are that which is a complete fabrication, an absolute fabrication. That which is mentioned regarding many of the companions, this is an utter lie. The second narration, or the second narrations are those narrations, maybe there is some truth in it, but they have been exaggerated. Some things have been added to it by the Shia, by the Rawafid. Some things have been taken away from it, and these texts have been played with. And then there are the third type of narrations, which mention the dispute which occurred between them, and in any case, they are to be excused. And the Sahaba alayhim ridwanullah, first of all, there was munafiqeen who were around at that time who caused problems between the companions. Secondly, the difference which they had was out of ijtihad. It's not because they made takfir of each other or hated each other, but they had a difference in opinion in how to deal with something historically. To be exact, Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was killed by a number of people. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he wanted the first action to be justice. That those people who killed Uthman, his murderers, that they should be brought to justice and they should have the penalty upon them. Ali radiallahu anhu, he had another opinion. He was of the opinion that the first thing we have to do is consolidate the affairs of the Muslims. We have to consolidate the Khilafah. Once the rule and the authority is consolidated, then we can start chasing after the murderers. Because we don't know who they are. And there's also munafiqeen amongst them, and they have entered into the ranks of the Muslims, and also the Khilafah and the authority is a bit unstable. So let us stabilize the Khilafah, and then we will chase those murderers. And this is how there was just a difference of opinion. So Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he never refused to give bay'ah to Ali because he believed that he was not deserving of bay'ah. It wasn't this. It was just that he said the priority is that we need first seek justice upon the murderers of Uthman, and then the Khilafah we can carry on. And as for Ali radiallahu anhu, he was of a different opinion. And so Muawiyah radiallahu anhu settled in Sham, and some people came behind him, and Ali radiallahu anhu settled in Al-Madinah, and people came behind him. The majority of the Sahaba, the large majority of them, they were with Ali radiallahu anhu, and his was the correct position. And as for Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he is still rewarded, because the mujtahid, the one who tries his best and makes an error in the ijtihad, he's between either one reward or two rewards. If he was correct, for him is two rewards. If he made an error in his ijtihad, then for him is a single reward. So from the virtue of the companions is, even in the dispute that they had, they are between either one reward or two reward. And more than this, we don't need to enter into it. We suffice with that. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.